Do you know that Christ earnestly desires to embrace you? He earnestly wants to give you a hug. He wants to earnestly know you, to be with you, to be in you, and to have you in Him. Think about that as I read through today's lesson again. At that time, Jesus went to a city called Nain, and His disciples and a great crowd went with Him. As He drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a man had died and was being carried out, the only son of his mother. Only son of his mother. No other children. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And He came and touched the bier, or the casket. It's like He came up and touched the casket. And the bearer stood still. And He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And He gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited His people." We know elsewhere that this is a widow. She had no husband, and her only son had just died. So this woman had no means of economic income. She had no one to fix things around the house. She had no help, no protection, no support. She was alone. She was empty. She was grief-stricken. She was worried. She was grieving. She was in real, real pain and fear. We had a funeral here just yesterday, and we experienced many of these same emotions as we ushered a loved one to the kingdom of God. But this woman was facing some really powerful emotions when Christ came up and He touched the casket. Now, He didn't have to touch the casket. We know that. He can heal just by His voice. We've seen that in other miracles. But we also know that sometimes He would go to them and He would touch, for instance, the little girl. He took her by the hand. He touched them and said, "I said to you, little girl, get up, arise." Physical touch is very important to us as human beings. If God had not incarnated in a body, He could not touch us. Do you think God just incarnated for the fun of it? No. He came to be among us so He could touch us. And not just with His words. He wants to touch us. If you read the Bible, it's repeatedly evident that God desires a relationship with us. At the risk of being scandalous, some of the fathers, some of the hymnographers, lean in the directions of this erotic relationship. That's to use something that we understand and is meaningful to us to describe the depth of God's passion to be with us and for us to be with Him. He loves us that much. Think about how our desires are not fulfilled unless we actually touch it. How many of you want a new iPhone 6? Well, you can want it all day long, but until that's in your hand, that desire is not fulfilled, is it? Is it? I mean, you can think about it. You can look at it, read about it, whatever. It's not the same. What about those of you who are about to be able to drive? You can read about cars, you can sit in your parents' car, but until you've got your own set of wheels and actually drive it around, it's not the same. You haven't fulfilled that desire. What about you husbands, before you got married? When you saw your wife, you desired her. And that's a good and natural and true thing. That desire wasn't fulfilled until you embraced her. And what about you mothers? How many of you desired children? Well, you can think about it. You can pick up your nieces and nephews, and that's all good. But that desire is not fulfilled until you actually embrace your own child in your arms. Well, think about it. You know what I'm saying is true. Touch is vitally important. What does this teach us about Holy Communion? Jesus Christ wants to embrace you through Holy Communion. This is the means He's given us for Him to touch us physically, really, in this world, and for us to touch Him. We touch the body and the blood in the bread and in the wine. We accept it into our hearts, into our souls, in faith. And He is in us, and we are in Him. Now, this is not a common understanding today in many quarters. How has that come to be? Well, for the first 1,000 years, as you know, from the Holy Land to Ireland, the church was one, and we saw the Eucharist as one body and one blood. Unfortunately, after 1,000 years, it's probably pretty remarkable we held it together that long, after 1,000 years, there was a division, okay? East and West. Well, the church still held that it was body and blood, but this academic mindset began to take root in the church. And we felt like we had to explain things. Well, no, it's faith. We take it on faith. We don't prove it, we believe it. Well, an explanation was offered. Others in the West rejected that explanation in the spirit of academics. And today what we've inherited in our civil society, not so much, well, not in the Orthodox Church or not in the Roman Catholic Church, but in the civil society, is this idea that Holy Eucharist is a symbol, that it's not the real presence of God, of Jesus Christ, there in the chalice. It's a symbol. It's not real. Or it has no spiritual value. Well, this is not what the church teaches. What does Scripture teach? I'm not one of those to really memorize Scripture. I mean, it's very good, and I encourage you to do it. There are short phrases and passages here and there I've been able to memorize. But I was looking this up in Luke chapter 22, I think it is. Jesus Christ says, "This is my body, and this is my blood." Now, many of those today who reject that Christ is truly present in the Eucharist say that it's a symbol. Many of those who say that are what I would call a biblical literalist. They take whatever they read. I mean, what the word is it, that's it. Notwithstanding that it's a translation of a translation of a translation. But they accept it. Okay, fine. If you accept that, why do you reject the clear meaning of this is something? I mean, it couldn't be clearer. And as if that wasn't enough, if you go to John chapter 6, there's a beautiful long discourse where Christ is saying basically, "I am the bread of heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have everlasting life." And if you think it wasn't clear to those he was talking to, there were some, if you go back and read John chapter 6, verse 66, you can always remember that because it's 666, some turned and walked with him no more because he was saying, "You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they're going, "Whoa, that's way too cannibalistic." They don't say the word cannibalistic, but you know that's what they're thinking. They say, "This is a hard teaching," I think it says in Scripture. And they turned and walked with him no more. Now, if our Christ, if our good and loving God, who came to this world to save everyone, was kidding, if he didn't mean that this was really his body and his blood, he would have said, "Hey, wait, guys, hold on. I'm just talking about a symbol. I'm not being real here. Hold up, come back." But that's not what he did. He let them leave. He said, "You've got to have my flesh and you've got to drink my blood." These guys turned and walked, and he let them go. This is not a symbol, my friends. This is not a symbol. This is like, what is it? He really hung on that cross. Blood, flesh, water, he hung on that cross, and he is in that chalice. If you don't accept him in the chalice, I ask you in your hearts, do you really accept that he's on that cross? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. He came to earth to die for us. It was real, it was bloody, it was ugly, but he did it to save us. He did it to save us. And our only hurdle is to accept this in faith. We don't try to prove it. We just accept it, that he is really in the body and the blood. Christ wants to save us from a life of fear, of emptiness, of pain, of anxiety, just like that widow. Just like that widow who had thought she'd lost her son, Christ came, reached out, touched him, raised him, and said, "Woman, have life back." He wants to do the same thing to us, and he reaches out through the chalice to do it. Accept him in faith through the chalice and find life. Find healing and peace and strength, because we all struggle in this sin-filled world. Glory to God.